Hello there again, and welcome to yet another episode of the Citizen Show with I, your host, Kugonzo Mnyaka. And today, we give an impact report on the COVID-19 pandemic on the society. And we give a timeline of how the society was and still is affected by this global pandemic. Well, it all started on 1st December 2019 in Wuhan City in Hubei Province, China, a place far away from Uganda and other Western countries. And the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, once called it a Chinese virus. It's like the virus itself didn't like this branding, and it quickly spread through Europe and the Americas, claiming countless lives as Ugandans watched on the international media. Egypt was the first country on the African continent to report a case, and this was on 14th February 2020. Still, the society felt that was far away from Ugandan borders, until Kenya, a month later, reported her first case on the 13th of March 2020. As soon as the pandemic hit Uganda's eastern neighbors, that is, in 5 days, 20th of March to be exact, the country was put under a total lockdown and night curfew, as was the rest of the world. President Yoweri Museveni closed all schools and other centers of learning for a month. And Nanyonyi Immaculate, a finalist pursuing a bachelor's in education at Makerere University, describes the ordeal she went through.
First and foremost, we are so happy when they closed universities, schools, when they told us that we are now going home for a break because of COVID-19. That was March. We moved from campus home, reached home, but we are so surprised that the brief break we thought we are going to get, it lasted for long. We were tortured mentally. We didn't have what to eat. Remember, we didn't move to our villages, our real home places. We stayed around campus. Actually, it was a number of students that stayed around. We didn't have enough what to eat. Necessities to use as a girl child, but nevertheless, God is in control. We managed because even we had work to do from campus, but we didn't do.
But even Katende Simon Peter had this to say.
I was upgrading at the university, at Makerere University. The course was stopped for a certain time because I had a target. I was upgrading with a goal, a bigger goal. I wanted to get the documents so that I could get somewhere better. But it was pushed further, because if I was supposed to graduate this coming January, and up to now I'm not certain of the date I can graduate, because I've just gotten back to do exams, to do that, all that sort of things.
The following day, Uganda reported her first case and locked Uganda's borders to the outside world, permitting only trucks that brought goods to the country. This was a new normal. Stay home and stay safe was the slogan. Social interactions were being limited. And in Katende Simon Peter's words,
All I can say, it has totally disorganized our social life.
But this wasn't the only worry in the society.
But the most disturbing side, this is the side of the common person. Because the day-to-day lives are getting disturbed, things are getting out of control. Because when you look at, just imagine, you have to wake up, you go to a supermarket for grocery, you just have to be, you just have to be very critical in whatever you do, because you don't know how you can contract the disease. They have told us how to wash hands, to put on the masks, but you can easily make a mistake. Because just me getting back home, just imagine you touch the door handle, you enter the house, you get the sanitizer, you clean up yourself, you forget to clean somewhere you touched.
But Ghanaiwitness, on the other hand, wasn't feeling the pinch like attendee Simon Peter was.
Socially, it affected as well, but not so much because since we were all confined at home, I live in a community where I have neighbors and I have friends there. So socially, I wasn't that much affected.
Work was restricted to only a few, as majority of businesses closed shop, as there were strict restrictions on both private and public means of transport. So if you badly wanted to work, you had to walk to work. And as a result, jobs were lost in huge numbers. Katende Simon Peter, an IT technocrat, as he calls himself, was one of those people.
And my immediate supervisor was telling me about something that they had a meeting and they have something cooking. So they had to engage us on terms of how they could terminate the contracts. They give us some package so that after all this situation, we could resume work. It was a very hard decision. Remember, you have a contract for 2 years. You've worked for around 6 months so far. They are engaging you into something that is ending your contract. Anyway, it was a mutual understanding. But if you could look ahead, you could easily see that the contract was ending there and then. So we agreed. They told us about a simple package, what and what. They terminated the contract. But just imagine, up to now, because the contracts ended around June, July, up to now, we haven't received any formal communication about reinstating our contracts. There is nothing you can receive from there. We are left hanging.
But Rwanda, Uganda's south western neighbor, was no different, as Jaborita puts it.
From where I've been or from where I'm coming from, Rwanda in particular, the biggest effect has been on employment. Like, people have been affected financially, like everyone else. But most so, people have lost their jobs. Companies have closed down since March. Some companies are not even yet open. Or if they open, the COVID guidelines, like curfew, it really doesn't give much flexibility to some business as it was before COVID, you know. So companies have found themselves working at a low rate, and more so companies have been forced to lay down some employees because they cannot accommodate them all that has really been a challenge. So me in particular, my company that I work for, it's really a fashion company. We had to close down in March. We closed down with the lockdown, but when the lockdown was lifted, we could not be able to open again. Because most of our clients are foreign clients, they come in the country and buy stuff or order online. And at this point, really, travel was so much affected. So we didn't have any people coming in the country, ordering online. It was just on a very small percentage, and it could still be operated by one person. So basically, I was employed from March up to November, and even getting hired, because I could apply and you know, try to find something to do. But it's hard if companies are laying down employees. It's really hard for you to get hired somewhere, except maybe those few companies that will advertise them for work, and that would be, yeah, like how work is. You cannot tell. So basically, financially, it's been very, very bad.
But some work had to go on, like in the medical field, and these medical workers, with a few other categories of workers, we adopt the essential workers. But even for them, they had challenges, as described by Kanavi Dennis.
I'm a dentist. We work in patient's mouth, and remember, it is a site where COVID is mostly transmitted, because if his saliva, even just salivary droplets, get to touch you, and you get to touch your soft parts like the eyes, the nose, even the mouth itself, you've transmitted it already. So the fear of handling patients was there, and even up to now, the fear is still there. Then the routine of sanitizing and washing. So at least we had to improve services, and like every person, if they don't have a sanitizer, at least you have to provide a sanitizer for them. After finishing working on one patient, you have to sanitize the whole area before another patient comes in for you to work on them. So measures had to be tightened up, and some of us work in the private sector. This means money. Yeah, this means money for basically the sanitizers and what have you. Then buying coats, this full covering coats. Yeah, because you can't work when you're too exposed, because you don't know the person you're working on. Is he safe? Is he not? So you have to buy these coats, at least that cover most of your parts, and at least so that you're not too exposed, putting on the face shield and face mask.
But of course, all this had a toll on the human mind. Students
were all frustrated. Just thinking, for example, my case has ever thinking. I know there is thinking critically, but I was thinking a lot, thinking of my degree, thinking of how will I continue with life.
And to our technocrat of the day, the tales of Armageddon started making sense.
Actually, I reached a point and I was like, what is this we're experiencing? Is the world ending?
But in all, man had to survive, and all hopes turned to the side hustles to sustain life. In Katende, Simon Peter describes this.
Now when we go to the side businesses, our projects, the usual projects we do, you get someone wants a system, you go to the field, you get the data, you do what? That's what we are left for. But which was more harder than even the full-time job? Because for the full-time job, you have a station. You wake up, you go to the office, you sit. You are not exposed to the disease. You're exposed, but not that very exposed, because I'm not a front desk worker. But for the other projects, remember, you go to the field regularly, you're collecting data, you do a lot of things before you come up with something making sense. So there I started feeling the impact of the disease. I wasn't affected directly in the way that I had the connection to the disease directly, but the impact of the disease started affecting me. I started feeling it deep. We continued like that.
Sooner, the government realized that the pandemic was going nowhere, and restrictions that had been put in place to curb the first spread of coronavirus were relaxed as all sectors of the society were taking a hit. By the end of July, work had resumed, transport restrictions were lifted, and people were seemingly getting a semblance of their social life before the total lockdown. But this wasn't the case, as the COVID-19 cases were on the rise in Uganda, and deaths related to the COVID-19 were being registered. Even though the government was preaching the gospel of wearing face masks, social distancing, and other SOPs, the society was on a different wavelength. Hell, they even made songs about COVID-19. I know, you know the melodies. Schools would go on to open on 15th of October, and students welcomed this with open hands, but finalists were skeptic about the near future after they had written their final exams.
God willing, we went back to campus. We are now finalizing. Another pandemic is coming. Actually, it has come with much energy. So we don't know if we shall get jobs, what to do, money. You know, when someone has their own money, it's good. You know, for us who are hardworking, we really want to work. But now where? Mob companies are laying off their workers. Schools, for example, I'm a teacher. I'm not sure if I'll go to teach, because I had gotten a place for my school practice, my last school practice. Which was to begin actually this month. No. Our schools were going to close in May. If we were on normal situations, we were going to close in May. May, that is campus. Then we go straight to school practice, where I thought I'll get retained and get what to do. But nah, all didn't happen. We are now doing micro teaching. This is where you teach your fellow teachers, because they need us to graduate in March, and school practice is one of the necessities, one of the papers that we are doing for any teacher to graduate. So they brought in the issue of micro-teaching. We are now doing micro-teaching. Get marks, we teach our fellow teachers, and that's all. Then this micro-teaching comes with a disadvantage of not going to schools, because some of us thought we are going to get retained, hence jobs and employment, but now all in vain. And it has also its advantages, because we are now teaching. Just you get 2 days, you teach your teaching subjects, for example, literature and English. The supervisor supervises you and it's done. But now,
But it's not only Immaculate who was worried about living in this new normal. Katende Simon Peter has this to say.
When I look at my personal life, I had great dreams, I had goals, because I had set a number of goals, but I couldn't achieve even a quarter of what I had targeted. So I think it was a very bad experience.
Some of the people are seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, as they are trying to take good vibes from this new normal, as Chiawarita from Rwanda narrates the good.
Give me a time to reflect on myself and where I want to be the next 10 years. And it allowed me time to really start applying while being intentional. I mean, at this point of my career, my life, I don't want to work somewhere just to put food on the table. Okay, yeah, I can work to put food on the table, but I would really want that something to be in my line of work. Or if I can be self-employed, that would be even better. But as long as I'm still in this field, it gave me time to reflect on myself and where I want to be and which kind of work I want to be in the next, I want to do in the next 5 years. So I started applying in that direction. So many applications, like, you know. And on the other hand, on the side, I was trying to see how I can really build myself to be self-independent. Because I've seen in the next years, I'm not going to be survive on salary. Like, what COVID has taught me basically is it has opened my entrepreneurial mind, you know. And I know any time anything can happen, and that's it. So I'm trying to figure out how to really work on my self independently, like how to start a business for me that would sustain me over the next years, you know. And I can tell you guys, because I've not been working and everything, but yeah, I've been doing something small, and it has kept me going through this lockdown. It's just recently that I've got a job, but before that, my kind of self-startup has been keeping me going, you know. And then I'm also happy that I know what I wanted, the career I wanted to take, and I was patiently applying in that direction, because I had plenty of time. I had plenty of time to do this, and it wouldn't have happened. And maybe I wouldn't even have left that job if it wasn't for COVID. Because right now I'm very happy with the kind of offer and the kind of job I'm getting. So to me, really, COVID has had a very positive I know it sounds bad to say it.
And Kanavi Dennis didn't have varying views from what Rita had to say.
But I can basically say we have been able to move through the times and we are doing good. Thanks to the Lord that we are still moving. And I personally am still moving. I can't say COVID-19 has been a 99% setback. No. It has had some good things along the way and some bad things along the way.
But in all, our condolences go to the families that have lost people to this pandemic, and we wish a quick recovery to those with COVID-19. And for the rest, wear a mask, sanitize, and social distance as you head into the festive season. And as Katende Simon Peter puts it,
COVID-19 will never be forgotten. Every person will live to remember it because it has brought a totally different life. The world has changed. Everything has changed.
Adios. See you next time.